Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95 BFM?
With Joe from Salad Boys all the way in Christchurch, is it, bro?
Yeah, Christchurch.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Hey, just to give you the layout, I'm standing in a place and John's standing opposite me about 10 metres away and we're keeping a nice distance. Do you know BFM very well?
Yeah, I think the last one I was there was probably 3 or 4 years ago.
So, okay, it wouldn't have changed too much. He's in that CD library.
Oh, yeah.
Where you put your guitar case if you're setting up to play or whatever.
Yeah, I've never actually played. I've only flapped my chin.
We would love to organise that at some point if you're ever up here.
Yeah.
Let us know. We're here every weekday, please.
Yeah, cool. Well, I could do every weekday. No sweat. Yeah.
Joe, have Salad Boys played any shows in, I guess, the last 12 months?
Yeah, we actually did an Australian tour in November. Mm-hmm. So 6 months ago now. So, not a lot of New Zealand shows, though, to be honest.
Why is that? Why did you decide to head to Australia? Was it just a call for it?
Not really. Just something I'd like to do every couple of years. It's quite a fun thing to do, to book. You sort of, tack a holiday on at the end of it. And I don't know, it kind of makes me feel like I'm sort of succeeding in life if I'm in a band that's touring in Australia, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I feel that. It's a slight validation. Like, what have you been up to? Oh, mate, I've actually been flat out, been on tour in Australia, so...
Yeah, it's an impressive thing. And, my parents, they tell their workmates, and it sounds like I'm doing good.
Yeah, that's good. Mum's got something to say.
So. And you guys did a KEXP session a few years ago, which is bloody good.
I remember seeing that and going, holy crap. I think that was the first New Zealand band I'd seen do it, and you guys absolutely smashed it out of the park. It seems like they're all good, pretty much.
Yeah. That was an awesome thing to do. It was just a great atmosphere. Everyone was really friendly. Just a really nice place, and it was great. And they even asked us to do an extra song. And when we played one of the songs live, there was like sound problems or something. One of the microphones cut up something, so they got us to redo that at the end and stuff. So. It was awesome. It was an incredible opportunity for a New Zealand band to have.
Totally.
Did they just reach out to you while you're on the road over there? Did they get wind
they must
that
get
you're
everyone's
in the neighbourhood?
Touring schedule.
I can't remember. As far as I know, it was just part of the PR company that they hired. I mean, when we went over there, there was a touring company that booked the shows, and then they hire a PR company to promote the shows, basically. Mm. So that was just all part of that package, in with the album release as well.
Awesome.
I thought there was quite a delay between the KXP session getting recorded and then getting released, or was it a quick turnaround in your instance?
It must be within a couple of weeks, wouldn't it?
Oh, I thought it was a couple of weeks. I'm pretty sure it was definitely by the time we came back to New Zealand. I think it might have been like a month later or something like that. Yeah.
Impressive.
But yeah, cool to get under your belt.
It is a good thing for the CV. In fact, that's why it's so easy to book an Australian tour, because you just send them that link and they assume that you're kind of more important. Which is actually, if you play a dud gig, then they're kind of more disappointed. So that's the only downside to that.
Hey, should we sort of grip it and rip it? The top of this list, was there any direction for this, John, or...?
It was like songs you're vibing on, songs that have inspired the Salad Boys, or maybe songs that you just put on while you're cooking dinner.
It was kind of lockdown stuff. I've been listening to a lot of music, obviously, with my extra free time. But those are the songs I picked, are the ones that stood out the most to me, that kind of, resonated with me the most at this time.
Nice. Okay. Should we come out the gate with this Nirvana track, Paper Cuts, off Bleach?
Yeah.
Definitely the only Nirvana album for me, really.
Is that right?
Love it.
How come? Why only Bleach?
It's just the rawness, I think.
You know, In Utero is very raw as well. A lot of people, they don't like Nevermind for its... really doesn't cut it.
Well, for me, I never really... I mean...
It's a different thing, Bleach, you know? They're a totally different band. It's, yeah, I mean, what it is that they were that band with that drummer, and they had a sound. And there's certain songs on Bleach that really excel at that particular sound, songs like Scoff and this one, Paper Cuts. And it's the songs that they ended up playing live later, like Blue and About a Girl and things like that, that don't actually really fit the Bleach sort of thing quite as well, actually. So
yeah, I feel what you're saying, for sure.
Yeah,
let's get it. This is Paper Cuts, Nirvana. Let me just come back in with the soothing music of Buenos Aires underneath us here.
Joe from Salad Boys waiting patiently on the phone line there, all the way down in Christchurch.
Have you got some snacks and a drink close by or anything like that?
No, I've eaten enough food today.
I've had
two lunches and three pieces of fruit.
Oh,
so I'm good. Yeah.
I've definitely got to eat more fruit.
Hey, Joe, I noticed that the Cellar Boys are on Trouble in Mind Records.
Yes.
How did that come about, and what sort of deal have you cut with them?
Geez, this is all ancient history now. They sent us a message on SoundCloud, long time ago, probably 7 years ago or something. And they just liked us, and did the usual coy approach of, hey, what are your plans and things like that. And
what are your hopes? What are your dreams?
Yeah, which is just never a good question to ask a band, because of course they don't know.
Yeah, we're just doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it ended up being about a year before we actually ended up inking a deal, as they say in the industry. It was just a standard indie rock deal with three albums, and so we do owe them a third record.
You owe everyone a third record in a sense, maybe.
Yeah, I owe the Cellar Boys a third record, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Rad.
Mm.
How far away are you from doing a third record? Because
great segue, John.
The last one was recorded like 2017 or something?
Yeah. Well, it was actually recorded earlier than that. We tracked the drums in 2016, and then it took me over a year to finish it, just because that's how long it takes me to make albums.
Fair enough.
So the third one, we actually tracked the drums in January, and I've pretty much completed the overdubs. I'm just at the sort of soul-destroying vocals,
yeah,
recording
just,
vocals.
Right,
yeah.
I was just about to, what am I going to say kind of thing.
Yeah, oh,
what
I
have I got
had,
to say?
I've never had anything to say with the lyrics,
right.
So now it's just making them passable.
So it's just like the vocals are more just another texture to the whole jam?
That's the classic cop-out line that I tend to say, yeah.
Yeah, that's all good, man. I honestly, whenever I listen to music and I don't understand the language, that's where my mind is, you know, so...
That's the thing, man. And when I was in T-54, that actually was a genuine thing I wanted. I did actually want the vocals to be, an extra thing. But with Cellar Boys, I was trying to make it more accessible and poppy and whatnot, and, get the vocals loud, because everyone was always like, oh, I can't have the fucking lyrics and all that. So, in fact, I got so confident on the last record that I actually... printed the lyrics inside.
Oh wow.
Anyway, I guess it is a little bit about the texture and stuff, but I've got a pretty pretty mellow voice. With distorted and jangly guitars, it's pretty hard to get it to sort of poke through.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Where to now? We've got some Villains, we've got some David Bowie, we've got some REM up in the mix here, we've also got some Angel Olsen. Whereabouts should we head off to now?
Let's go with the Lions.
Sweet. What's the story? If there is one.
Is it got anything behind this one? If there is anything behind it, or should we?
I sort of went back and listened to my records with my extra free time recently, and there's a song at the end, which is this song here, and I've always wanted to know who it was about, because you could tell that he wrote it about someone from Dunedin at the time, and I was always really curious to find that out. And I actually plucked up the courage and sent an email only about a week ago, actually, and Graham always responds 2 minutes later. I guess that's the sort of method that he's sort of employed, being a university lecturer.
It's so great that you could just do that, though, as well. I love that.
Yeah, and he just told me straight away, and I've been wondering for 10, 11, 12 years, and then he finally told me, yeah.
You're not going to tell us, though, eh?
No.
We should have to email them as well. Find out if you want to. That's actually that's a good philosophy. Here we go.
Well, listen to the lyrics, and, it'll make you want to know who it's about. Yeah.
Perfect. Verlaine's It Was Raining.
Well, how long saw it in veins? You've got fences around your neck. Took all the horns of adoring girls applause for it, and to follow home and sorrow, it's gonna make you watch it all. We'll be right back.
And there's no home. And there's no home. And there's no home. And there is no way he can go home. And those who hold the line just say more. Don't ask his voice and ask the pound of flesh return. And stab him when his back is turned. And they asked him what he came here for. He said there wasn't a single bridge out there at all. Whoa. Whoa.
Gee whiz, what a beaut. Are you there, Joe? Come in, Joe.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Lovely tune. I can see how you can get a little bit hypnotized by that one.
Yeah. Whole album's fantastic.
The Verlaines. I haven't gone full in on the Verlaines, but everything I hear is always really good.
Yeah, the way it hit me was back in 2009, I had a car with a cassette deck in it, and I had a Verlaines tape, and of course it just cycled through around and around and around.
Great.
And that's how I got used to the songs, and you know, ended up becoming basically my favourite band at one point.
What is the modern equivalent of that? I guess buying a record, you can kind of do that if you've only got a small record collection, you end up listening to the same records quite a lot.
Well, that sort of thing just doesn't happen.
Yeah,
anymore,
it's true.
I think, and that's why, like, when I write and release songs, and I worry if when I listen to it, if I'm starting to get bored with it, I'm thinking, holy shit, well, other people going to want to, you know?
True.
Yeah, so you got to keep them short now.
That's fair. Hey, speaking of keeping it short, should we kick straight into another track?
Yeah, man.
What are you feeling, bro?
Let's go for the David Bowie.
Feels like a good transition. I was thinking the same, actually.
Why have you chosen this particular David Bowie?
Oh, it's so
David
inquisitive,
Bowie
John. You just can't. You're so persistent.
Well, this just came out, actually. This was only released about a week or two ago. It is a re-recording of a song from Lodger from 1979. So this is from 96. And it is, yeah, just a good version of an old song that was, which is a very good song, that was perhaps overlooked because of the production on Lodger. Lodger's got a bit of a reputation for being quite murky sounding, so much so that they actually remixed it about 2-3 years ago after he died. But, of course, as it goes, I prefer listening to the original mix in the end. But, yeah, I just love this song, and it's a good version.
All right, repetition. On the table.
the good of me working when you can't damn cook? Well, Johnny is a man, and he's bigger than her. I guess the bruises won't show if she wears long sleeves, but this face in her eyes shows through.
I'm always having to correct my dad, Bowie.
I kind of like dredging the other one up, though, just because people tell you what people love, David Bowie.
Now, yeah. Joe, late last year you put out two songs. This issue, which was on playlist up here for a couple of months.
Yeah, thank you for that, by the way.
Fantastic tune. Fantastic tune. So that one is not going to be on the forthcoming LP?
No, I don't think so. The sort of, from what I can tell from the current album I'm working on, it's a return to rock, and that is, those songs are more of a disco flavour. They might sound out of place on a new record, but I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe I might have them as bonus tracks or something like that. You know, that's a cool thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Nice touch.
Yeah. Have you thought about like pressing a 7-inch or anything like that? Because we can do that locally now, which is kind of rad.
I have, but my experience with 7-inches in the past is people don't really buy them, and I'm sorry I don't want to discourage anyone.
I don't buy them, so yeah, you're right.
I mean, even like Cellar Boys did a 7-inch 4-song EP, and even like I thought that was going to be a good sell because it's, you know, like 4 songs.
Four's pretty good. Yeah.
I reckon, yeah, and but again, they didn't fly out the door, you know, so so probably not. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, those two songs we're talking about, This Issue and Onwards and Downwards, were recorded at a place called Dog's Hit Factory in Christchurch.
Yeah, it's actually called Dog's Hit Factory, but when I put it on,
that's great.
Say it publicly, which in fact I'm doing now.
Put the space wherever you like.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's our band practice room, where we do all our recording and things like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So a bit of gear in there?
Bit of gear, yeah. A lot of, pretty much every release that comes out of Christchurch and indie scene and punk scene and all that's all recorded at Dog Shit or in the vicinity and within the storage block. Brian, who's the drummer in Cellar Boys and Dance Cosmetics and other bands, he's pretty prolific with recording bands and things.
Rad.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, here we are. I have an Angel Olsen song, I have an R.E.M. song.
I'm going to go for the R.E.M. song now.
Why have you chosen
this? Did you see him
R.E.M.
making his cute little videos during lockdown? It's pretty cute.
Stipe?
The main guy, what's his name?
Stipe,
yeah.
Michael Stipe.
Yeah,
he's very charismatic. He's sitting there, so to work a camera.
He had some nice stuff to say as well. I was like, good guy from R.E.M.
He's a good guy. he's a good guy. I chose the song because I really like it. It's from their 2008 album, Accelerate. This version is a live version. I just prefer this version.
Is it? Hang on. I might have got the wrong one here.
What have you got?
I think I've just got the one from the album.
It's okay, but he double tracks his voice on the album version, and Stipe never really double tracked his voice.
Is it the BBC Live? No.
No, it's Live at Olympia.
Oh, yeah, okay, got that. Hang on, let me just dig in now, mate. I'd hate to.
I can do it twice.
Had to get the wrong song.
Mr. Richards?
Is Live. It?
Yeah, yeah, got it here, bro.
Yeah, you got it, bro. Yeah,
good tune. Save, hungry.
Mr. Richards.
There you go, they're clapping, that makes sense.
Mr. Richards, your position is a messenger pigeon.
Definitely the live version.
Yes, that was a great song.
Perfect.
I really enjoyed that.
I assume that whole set's pretty sweet if one song's
good. Oh, it is, man. Yeah. It's from 2007, but pretty much the whole live disc is made up from 80s stuff and then the new stuff at the time, which is very 80s sounding. So it's just awesome. Yeah, it's bloody good.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Now, Joe from Cellar Boys, thank you very much for joining us on the phone this evening.
Thanks for waiting on the line and listening to all those songs that you already know really well.
No, I didn't listen to them today because I knew I was going to be listening to them now. And I'm glad I waited.
How do they sound down the phone line?
I mean, I'm used to listening to music at my cell phone speaker. So with a phone, like an actual phone, it sounded pretty good.
Sweet.
A slightly bigger speaker.
Now, we sort of got a hint of an album. Album 3 from the Salad Boys coming up. When do you reckon we might be able to see that or see you play live up in Auckland?
I really don't know.
I guess COVID as well.
Really? Yeah.
COVID considered.
I don't know. I'm kind of more interested in other things at the moment, if I'm completely honest with you.
Well, please explain.
I just like, I've got a lot of projects on the go and things, and as of today, that one's tickling me the least, I would say.
Fair enough.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm making video demos of guitars now. That's kind of my main man these days. So.
Oh, wow. Are they on, like, YouTube? Can we watch
them? Yeah, they are. Yeah, Joe Sampson, YouTube.
So how does that work? Someone sends you a guitar and you give it a hone?
Kinda. I've got quite a few guitars already.
Yeah. So you've just got, I assume you've got a vintage collection. You're like, I don't see anyone demoing this, and then you just go and do it, or?
Pretty much, yeah. I've got lots of pedals as well, so
oh, awesome.
It's a good way to like be creative without the pressures of having the right lyrics and all that crap. So it's been good fun.
Oh,
so,
man, you have to check this out. I love watching demo videos. I think
it's a good time. Well, yeah. Thank you. You should.
Sweet.
Please do.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Also, I have a lot of pedals and guitars myself, so.
Oh, really?
I'm interested to see what you've got.
I wonder if we've ever bought off each other on TradeMe.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
John's like twiddling. John's steepling his fingers.
Oh, like, where's this guy? Forget about Salad Boys record. Just keep an eye out for Joe Sampson on YouTube.
are you on TradeMe quite a bit?
Oh, daily.
Did you see that that vintage Australian guitar that was up there? It was kind of like a strange double humbucker with a single coil. It was like 70s, made by a guy called Dan Calloway.
No, that mustn't have jumped out at me. It was electric guitar.
Yeah, electric guitar. He's an acoustic guitar builder now. He built it in the 70s. It's electric
guitar.
Yeah,
right.
It's rad. I just sort of got it today. I swapped it for a couple of pedals, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. No, I didn't see that. I guess I must have unconsciously seen it, but I guess it just didn't jump out at me. So,
right on.
I'm more Dan Electro type man.
Oh, so, sweet.
Yeah, that's more my bag. Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, we'll have to check you out on the YouTubes then.
Yes, please do.
We're going to go out with Angel Olsen, and we'll all sort of hold our breaths until this next Salad Boys record comes out. Is that a deal?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Sweet, bro. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, Joe.
Right on.
Right on.
To forget you is to hide. There's still so much left to recover. If only we could start again, pretending we don't know each other. I could not come back the same. This city's changed. It's not what it was back when you loved me. Walking down that path we made.
That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.